Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm going to start us off by reading Luke 24, 28 through 35. As they approached the village, well, actually, I forgot to get the mic. All right, not the mic, the stand. Oh, man, my bad. Appreciate it. I'm reading off my phone, so it's, but as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them and assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. My name's Theron Kydry. I'm a member of the New York City Edge Singles Ministry. I moved here from Tennessee about 2.5 years ago. I moved here with the goal to, I moved here for a job with the IRS and with the goal of, God willing, getting into the FBI. Bear with me one moment. This thing's a little finicky. I have the privilege today to share some of my experiences and trials and how God's been working in my life. My hopes were ultimately that it would be straightforward, you know, this whole process of moving up here, trying to get in the FBI and whatnot. But it has been in some ways, and in other ways it hasn't been so much. Navigating a significant life change while simultaneously pursuing a very rigorous application process for the FBI brought many unforeseen challenges. From having knee surgery to prepare for a fitness test to having to disclose various past delinquency in my past, in my background check, it's been an overwhelming experience, to say the least. Couple that with settling of my deceased father's estate and serving as a conservator for my mother with schizophrenia, it has at times been unbearable. On top of all this, an opportunity came to work for an investment bank called Jefferies in December 2022, which was great. I got to leave the IRS, work from home, good industry. I figured, make some money while I'm sitting here waiting to get into the FBI and whatnot. And I worked there for a year. It was good, had good performance reviews and whatnot, and then just everything with my mother and family and lawsuits and having to mediate between all that, it just got to be too much. And ultimately my performance at work started to suffer, and I was terminated in February due to lack of poor performance. At first I was relieved, honestly, but as time went on and another job didn't come available as quickly as I expected, it was difficult for me to believe, God was still, watchful and providing. I was even hesitant to share because I was still unsure of how I'd be received. Will I be condemned for my lack of ability to perform despite the circumstances? I found myself initially confident, that another job would come because I had many interviews coming, but steadily, they just didn't necessarily pan out. And even as recently as this week, while I'm trying to prep for this, I got to the second round of an interview with a company called Deloitte. Interviewed with the managing directors, two of them. I was confident I had the job. I answered everything perfect. And then come Thursday, they sent me an email. "We're going in another direction." I'm like, "Oh, okay. There you go." So I was frustrated, very much so. I was angry at God, but I'm still working through the disappointment even, and trying to reconcile, will God provide an answer or open another door? And in that confusion, it's very easy to focus on the circumstance, what I could have done better, my frustration, anger at God, whatever have you. However, when those emotions start to give way, I'm reminded even how Jesus said to his disciples, how foolish and slow to believe all the prophets have spoken you are. And that resonates with me, because I'm just like, I'm so blinded by this moment, and I can't see everything else that God is doing. But in these moments of doubt and uncertainty, if we're not careful, we give Satan an opportunity to distort our view of Jesus and who he is and blind us to seeing him. Now, bear with me. In these moments, I think it's helpful to try to remember who Jesus is when he was teaching them and showing them who he was. And one scripture it makes me think of is Isaiah 53. I think, if you'll bear with me, it's a long scripture, but we'll make it to the other side. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord make his life an offering for sin, he will see his life as offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Whenever I read that, it convicts my heart even. As they were walking, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" This scripture causes my heart to burn within me when I see the suffering that Jesus went through for me, and he deserved none of it. He can empathize with those who were falsely accused. He can empathize with those who were downtrodden. He deserved none of it. No one protested when he was, you know, suffering. They just were okay with it. And so I guess my question from that is, for you, in times of confusion, in times of struggle, where do you look towards? Do you look towards the situation? I know for myself, sorry, I lost my train. It says they went from being discouraged to finally. Yeah. But so for myself, I know I wish in the moment when I'm going through these circumstances that I could look towards Jesus and get perspective, but I don't. That's not me. I usually don't get perspective until after the situation, until it's passed, and then, you know. And that's somewhere I need to grow, and that's, I'm sure y'all can empathize with that as well. But, so my question to everybody is, when those times come, who do you look towards? What reignites your heart to burn within you in those circumstances? And My encouragement is obviously, during those times, look towards Jesus, the living word, for encouragement, for guidance, and he's faithful. Thank you for listening.
My turn on the stage, and I'm already nervous. So thank you for your patience. I apologize in advance. Thank you for those of you who are at home watching us online. I appreciate you as well, particularly since my mother and my sister, I'm pretty sure, are watching me from Philadelphia. I'm blessed because they are also disciples in the church, so it connects even bigger for us in that way. Thank you, Theron, for talking a bit about some of the struggles that you've gone through, because it's hard to share and it's hard to know that this is going to live on YouTube for a while. But I did want to say that even just last night, I thought that this has all come about and it was probably meant to be. Because not because I'm this font of knowledge and know all the things about God and about Jesus and about blessings, but because I needed to hear the message and I needed to dive deeper into those scriptures, because I needed to have the words and the message be repeated to me, because sometimes I'm a little slow, just like the scripture says. And so when I look at this message, it spoke to me in a lot of different ways. The more I looked into it, the more I talked to my sister about it, the more I looked into the word and tried to figure out what is it that strikes me about this. Because the story alone is important and always has struck me as these two individuals, Cleopas and his friend, who are walking. And to me, as a non-athlete, knowing someone who is a triathlete, someone who is a marathoner, people who wake up in the morning and they go straight to the gym, or someone who regularly goes to their gym wherever they may live and makes sure that their apartment building has a gym. That is not me. So when I'm thinking about someone who's walking, leaving Jerusalem, because back in the day, you know, everything was their own 2 feet, and they're with a friend, someone close to them, but they've had this painful thing happen. They're leaving a place where that was the news, that was what was happening at the time. And so not only are they on this physical journey away from the town, but they're also most likely talking about it. I envision that they're talking to each other, they're close enough that they're traveling together, and yet they're in pain. And I know for myself, I am not loud when I'm in pain. I tend to withdraw. I tend to not talk about it. And oftentimes, even those closest to me will call, will text, be like, "Are you alive?" And I usually at that point will be like, "I'm alive." But that's how I deal with it. And since becoming a disciple, I've learned that that's not the healthiest way to deal with it. Being that I work in international higher education, I know through my profession that that is not a healthy way to deal with it. But yet, that's my inclination. And I've battled this for many years, and it's something that I continue to learn about and continue to kind of push through. I don't know if there's any of you who are like that as well, but there are times where it's a struggle just to be happy, to be joyous. And the scriptures tell us to pray and be happy and to reach out to folks and to seek joy, right? And to live with that joy because we have God in us. And sometimes, some days, those are the things that I have to fall back on. So when strangers come up to me or I meet someone who I don't know, I'm probably not going to necessarily open up about the deepest and darkest about me. And I'm thinking, if Jesus just died, and then I also heard that these women talk to an angel, I'd be confused too. And most likely that's what I'm talking about if I'm walking. Again, this is hypothetical athletic me walking. But all that to say, Jesus comes up to them and he's hidden. We don't know why. As Mark said, maybe it's an undercover boss kind of moment, but we know that he's hidden and they don't recognize him. But then he starts to share with them. And so in Luke 24, 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I personally think he did this to kind of give them a message that he was with them, that he understood. And not only that, because before that, he was also like, "Are you a little slow? But, you know, I want to remind you, this has been talked about. The Messiah having risen has been talked about. Let me tell you." And I don't know about you, but the nerd in me would love it if someone started spitting knowledge to me. And it's just impressive. And this stranger has come up to them, wants to connect with them, and says, "Okay, that happened, and maybe I wasn't there, but this was talked about. These are all the things I know." And I can imagine if I was there hearing this, understanding that this person is someone of like mine, I would be excited. I would be sad still, but also I would feel validated that this person knew the depth of my sadness. Why was I upset? Why am I confused that this glorious thing, this story that I had heard just this morning was happening? And so I think Jesus did that on purpose, not only to remind them of what was supposed to happen and why it happened, but also I think it helped them to be open to talk to this stranger who walked up to them as they were making this journey. So much so were they impressed by his knowledge that they got excited and they were like, "Share a meal with us. Please sit with us." And so in Luke 24, 30 through 31, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them." And all this time, they're talking. Can you imagine what that conversation was like? I mean, Jesus was probably the best dinner partner ever. You know, and he's breaking bread with them, he's talking with them. I don't know about you, but when I go out to dinner or to a meal with brothers and sisters, we chat, we're loud, we're laughing, all the things are happening. People come up to us, they're staring at us, and they're like, "Huh, they're having a good time." I remember one time we went to a Greek restaurant in Brooklyn, and the waiter actually said, "How do you all know each other?" Because, you know, it looked like there was no reason why we should, I guess, because we're a very diverse group of people. But it's interesting because that's happened over and over again. So there's something about that meal and breaking bread with someone that can sometimes draw you closer to the folks that you know. But for the folks that you don't know, it can bring you closer. But miraculously, then their eyes opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Like, poof, Harry Potter stuff. So aside from the excellent conversation, this man just poofed. Like, literally just poofed. And I use that word because all the things that I was reading about this pastor, a lot of people are like, poof. Because he literally just disappeared from sight. And I know for me, I always say, you know, if someone's going to appear to me and they've passed, give me 2 weeks warning, like give me some time to adjust that you're not here, and then maybe poof, appear. But in this case, I'm picturing they're having a great time. They've been filled. They are reminded of his glory. They're reminded that he was here to be with them. And suddenly their eyes are open and they realize who he was. And they leave immediately to go tell folks about it. I don't know if it was the middle of the night or what, but they stopped for a reason. They actually stopped to have a meal because they're like, "No, don't keep going on your trip. You need to stay with us because, you know, it's getting late. Let's have a meal." But they were literally like, whoa, and stopped and wanted to see what was happening. And I don't know about you, but earthquake, is that old news now? But earthquake, how many of you felt it? I did not. I was a rival challenge that day, so I think in my walk running to work, between my movement and the movement of the earth, it just didn't, I didn't feel it. That's not to say it didn't happen, because my friend Shella texted me immediately. And 100% truth, sorry, Shella, I was like, maybe it was a truck that passed your apartment. That was my initial instinct because I did not feel it. But these folks, I'm sure Cleopas looked at his friend and was like, did that just happen? And probably realized, holy smokes, literally holy, poof. That did just happen. We've got to go tell folks. We just left people who said that he had risen from the dead. And they booked it right back to Jerusalem. And my non-athletic self was like, they were probably sweaty messes. Sweaty messes when they showed up. But that didn't stop them. They kept going. So my message, and thank you for listening thus far, I have trouble coming out of those valleys of emotion where I'm not excited, or I haven't been blessed, or I haven't seen something that was so miraculous that I wanted to tell people. There are moments like that, and the only thing that gets me through sometimes is to look at a scripture like this, to know that these things happen, and it's a fulfillment of what God has already promised me. And sometimes it just helps to know that when these things happen, it's meant to be and something that I should be looking forward to. So one of the scriptures I wanted to share is Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And sometimes, if you can't bring yourself to be joyful, to be happy, or you feel like other people should know, because if you're feeling such pain, shouldn't people just know? And if it's hard to reach out to someone, to whether it's a brother, a sister, or a family member, sometimes rely on past blessings that have happened. Personally, I write down random blessings that happen. Someone paid for my $20 Auntie Anne's order on the New Jersey Turnpike a couple weeks ago. Why was it $20? I have no idea. But the fact that she was like, it's $20, girl, I got you, go ahead. That happened. On the same trip, I'm driving and Waze tells me there's an object on the road and I see 8 to 9 cars on the side. Everyone's changing their tire or looking under their car with flashlights. And I was like, wow. So not only was I blessed with someone taking care of just my own dessert hang hunger, but that delay kept me from being with these 8 to 9 other cars probably and getting hit. So that's an obvious blessing. But then other days, the picture that you see on the screen is actually on my way to work. Sometimes just small things. Now, if you look at this and you go, allergies, I get it. I get it. But I want to reassure you that cherry blossoms actually have a very large pollen, and so that's probably not what's giving you the allergies. But I like to just know that these spots of beauty are also blessings from God. And if everything's going wrong, that tree might just be the thing I need for that day to keep me going. And I hope that you can find those things, the things that keep you happy and motivated and knowing that God has you in mind and that there are better things for you. So from someone who is broken and still learning myself, I hope you have a blessed day, and I bring it to Daniel next. Thank you. Thank you.
Morning, my name is Daniel Van Aken, and I have the honor to share with you some thoughts this morning. And I really am honored to share the stage with all the brothers and sisters that have spoken already this morning. I think it's a really cool thing to just hand us the keys. When John asked me, I actually didn't realize he wasn't going to be here. Like, none of the Ross isn't here, no one's here, it's just us. So, yeah, parents out of town type of vibe. I like it. And in Luke 24, I am just so struck by how these disciples were able to walk so intimately with Christ in a difficult time of their life. They got to process their emotions with Christ right by their side. They got to go through a pivotal moment in their entire life, talking to Jesus, just walking right alongside him. When John asked me to speak, he said, share something about how you're fired up for God. And immediately my head went to a time recently where I was confronted with exactly how unfired up for God I was. This past summer, I left my job. I was an early stage startup, and I was like, I've had enough of this. And I just took some time to hang out in the summer because I kind of thought, as soon as I want a job, I'll just snap my fingers and I'll get a job. I mean, who doesn't want to hire me, right? So, and then in August, I traveled around El Salvador. I traveled around Mexico a little bit, and I came back with E. coli. And I was bedridden for like 4 days. I didn't see light. I didn't see outside of my bedroom for 4 days. I lost 20 pounds in this time span. And during this time, I turned 26 and had to get off of my parents' insurance. And I was also unemployed. So I called up this like Christian insurance health plan and was signing up for them. And this guy was just like the sweetest guy I've ever spoken to on the phone. And after I set up the account, he asked me, you know, Daniel, I really mean this. Is there anything I can pray for you for? And I was sitting there 20 pounds down, no job prospects. And I just told him, I'm all set, man. No worry. Don't worry about me. And then I hung up the phone and I realized like that was the wrong answer. Like what is my idea of prayer? What is my idea of like what God's role in my life is? Like what is the idea of like if I'm not relying on prayer, if I'm not relying on God in my times of needs, then like what do I actually believe about God? Why wasn't I begging this guy to pray for me? And right in that moment, I kind of thought, I think God might teach me a lesson here. And then the next couple of months were just the most challenging of my life. I snapped my fingers and said I wanted a job and didn't get one. And then I ended up getting a job that I thought was my dream job, and it was rescinded the day before I was supposed to start. And then I had, you know, my personal life was blowing up. I had deaths in the family. All this stuff was going on around me, and I didn't have a great answer for what was going on. I woke up every morning and was asked the question, how conditional is my relationship with God? Am I in it because he's my genie in the bottle and I get these material blessings? I couldn't make that argument anymore because it felt like I was having fewer and fewer material blessings with each passing day. And so I had to wrestle with this question, and I could come up with you know, some academic answer, but I didn't feel those answers. And I thought back to that conversation with the insurance guy, and I said, you know, the answer is probably in prayer. I would spend all the day like sitting in the corner of this couch with a stack of books, and I got this like 10-volume set of the early church fathers' writings. And I would read these obscure old books all day, and then I'd walk around Brooklyn for hours in prayer. And I didn't come away with any academic revelations. No, I didn't come away feeling like a theologian. I just felt I walked away going through this time in my life just with this overwhelming privilege of being able to walk with God through it. And in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold for that which for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. And Paul makes it so clear, suffering is an opportunity for us to get to know God better, to get to know Jesus better. And then in Job, one of my favorite books in the Bible, in Job 42, we find Job, his whole life is ruined. His wealth's taken away, his family's taken away, his health is taken away, and he's angry at God. He's, this is not just. If you're a just God, how are you letting this happen to me? And there's a line that I love in Job where he says, if I was an attorney, I bet I could take God to court and I could win that case. And it's a crazy thing to say, but he's like, how is God a just judge? Look at what's going on right now. And then God goes on this amazing speech, and he doesn't answer any of Job's questions directly. He just makes proclamations about his true nature. And after hearing it in Job 42, verse 5, Job says, my ears had heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job knew God. Job was a godly man. We know this from chapter 1, from the start. He was a spiritual guy. He knew a lot of things. He had heard the word. But through wrestling with God, through being engaged during his suffering, he saw God. That was, he said, I've heard you, but now I see you. And I think that's such an interesting way to put it. And it so like perfectly captures what I've felt through walking with God through different seasons of my life. It's God's divine plan for our life to use every opportunity that we have, every hill, every valley, as an opportunity to get to know him better and to stay engaged with him through it. In Philippians 3, I'm just like, I'm overcome with this overwhelming sense from Paul of adventure. Every word there is so passionate. Everything in Paul's life is so energetic and adventurous. And that's inspiring to me. That fires me up about God. And when you view life as a divine plan, everything becomes an adventure. Every up, every down, every day, every opportunity is purposefully and intentionally put there to draw closer to our Creator. It's a different way of viewing life. When I look at the past year of my life, it feels so critical to me. Like, I had to go through that. Of course that's what I had to do. Of course that's what I had to go through to become who I am today and who I'm gonna be 10 years from now. It would be like, if that didn't happen, it already feels like you just like cut out 20 minutes in the middle of a movie. Like, that wouldn't make sense. The character development wouldn't make sense. But it's not inevitable, right? Like, challenges, good times, different seasons can tear you away from God too. But it's staying engaged with God through it. And with that, I wanna leave you with just one challenge and one practical. And the challenge is to go on a weekly prayer walk. To go on a weekly prayer walk and take inventory of your life. Talk to God about the story arcs of your life that are going on right now. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, just take inventory of what's going on, because at each one of those story arcs and each thing that's going on, those are opportunities for us to draw closer to God. Those are opportunities for us to be more like Christ. God has placed every single thing that has happened in our lives, the times and the places, so that we might reach out and find him, that we might, like Job, not just hear him, but see him and his nature more clearly. Every day, God wants us to live out his divine and mystical adventure. And these are great opportunities, and that fires me up about God. As we transition to communion, and as we're about to pray for the communion, I do want to, like the beautiful scripture that Theron read, like the reason why we can live out this adventure is because of Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection. He conquered death so that in all seasons of life, we can enter the presence of our Father with confidence. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for what a great day we have. Thank you so much that it's getting warm and beautiful outside. Thank you so much that we can come together, God, as brothers and sisters of Christ, of your Son, God. Thank you so much for his sacrifice, for his resurrection, the fact that he conquered death, that we could all come here. And it's a realistic thing that we can enter your presence. It's a realistic thing that we can wrestle with you. We can walk with you through good times, through bad times, through boring times, through anything, God, that you've sent out and you've entrusted us with a beautiful divine adventure in our lives, God. I pray that we can all live up to that amazing calling, that Christ has died so that we could participate energetically in your story. God, I pray that you can give us a double dose of your Spirit, that we can go forth in this city and live out that calling as ambassadors of Christ to the full. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.